right, good evening. Welcome. It is Wednesday night, and it is home group time. I'm Greg Stevens, and I want to welcome you and thank you for being with us today. Tonight, we're discussing what's been on everyone's hearts again, so stay tuned. Listen, here's how this works. Home group. Well, let me introduce everybody first, then I'll come back and talk about home group. Michelle is not here. Yep. She is with the family. She's in Colorado. But Cynthia is with us. Hello, Cynthia.
I'm here.
You got the whole couch.
I have the entire couch. This is mine. You all sit there. Okay. Everything is fine.
If we had Dr. Williams with us, never mind. With us also is Tim Fox. Tim, welcome.
It's good to be here. I'm glad to be with you guys.
Thanks for staying around. And then Dale is with us. Welcome, Dale.
Hey guys, good to see you.
Dale, I do have one question. Why do you have tools on the couch?
Oh, I'm sure there's a reason.
Well, it's got to do with our word tonight that you're talking about.
Oh, already. He's going to be illustrated. Look
sermon.
At this.
Yeah.
Illustrated.
Okay. Or that, or I'm getting ready to be walk out of hurt. I don't know.
Put your finger over here, Tim.
Home group. We've lost it. Do something. I'm going to separate those two. Home group is like you walked into our Bible study and
it's just
relaxed. We open the Word together in the spirit of faith, and we want you to be part of it. Matter of fact, there were so many comments that came in last week. We're going to continue on with what we did last week with you. And I asked everybody last week, what is one word that's been rolling around in your spirit concerning this? And I did that experiment with a group of believers. I asked them, tell me one word that's been rolling around your heart. So I'm doing the same thing tonight because you kept sending in your words.
All week?
All week long.
That's
people
awesome.
Kept sending in words. So I want you to do it tonight. Write the one word that's been rolling around in your spirit and send it to me. If you're on Facebook, hello, welcome, at the Go Victory, the Victory Channel on Facebook. Or on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you can send it, type it in, it'll come directly to the iPad. If you also have questions, comments, you want to put your word in, what God's been dealing with you about or talking to you about, you can text them at 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. Or you can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. So I'm looking forward to your responses and all. So where do we start?
With one of the guys. I really want to hear what they have to say.
Oh, you're sweet, sis.
Dale, you brought it up. You brought props and tools.
I brought props.
So what's God been sharing with you that you brought things onto the couch?
Well, you come to us. Where's my... So Greg comes to us and says, you know, we're going to do this again.
The amount of people that sent in responses all week.
Well, it goes really good with our ministry since we're a word-based ministry. You know, so it's like Brother Copeland says, everything's based around the Word. So I'm like, you know, we get several words, you know, that. And I said, Lord, what would you have me? What would you have? And he said, I'm going to remind you that night that I was coming home. Of course, I go over to Annette's, and we have a group of men come over, and we do a discipleship once a week. So I was coming home. I can see myself now. I'm driving my little car down Boat Club Road, and the Lord says to me, he says, Dale, I want you to study out the word weapon. Study out the word weapon. You know, so you hear words that roll around your spirit, but he gives me words to study out because I'm a definition guy.
Right.
So he wants to define things for me. He said, Dale, this is your scripture. I said, okay. So it's Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive. Mm-hmm. It's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So where is weapon in there, Tim?
Okay.
Do you see a weapon in there? It's a sword.
Right, it's a sword.
It's a sword. So there is a weapon in that. So I'm like, okay, so this thing is a physical weapon. I'm seeing a weapon. But then when I studied out the word weapon, it changed everything. So when you study out that word weapon, so you can study all through Scripture. Just get Blue Letter Bible, type in the word weapon or weapons. And then you can study out the meaning of weapon. And it was something I never dreamed that it was.
Okay, what was it?
So here's the definition of the word that I want you to remember. The definition for the word weapon is anything that is made or designed to do one thing. It's anything that's made or designed. So write that down at home. Anything that is made or designed to do one thing, it has one purpose. So in this group is a pen. This was designed to do one thing. It's impossible to light a fire with this, correct?
Correct.
So it was designed to do one thing, Tim. It was designed. So this is in the weapon group. A cup, when you study this out, you'll see that a cup is in the weapon group.
Right.
Because it was designed to do one thing. So when you get a pair of pliers, right, you can't cook your breakfast with these set of pliers, can you?
Unless you're in the woods.
Right. So, no. Okay, not even in the woods. You can't.
I don't know.
I'm not even in the woods.
Yeah, might so well.
This is designed. You might be able to kill something with these pliers. But this was designed to do one thing. So when you're drilling this down into yourself, well, you got a screwdriver, right? So you can't drive a nail with this.
No. Well, you can.
Well, you can, but it's not proper.
It's not proper.
It's not what it's for. So I'm sorry. I'm ruining your sermon.
So the word, I'll be quiet now. Right? So the word, it says the word is a seed, right?
Okay.
So I went and bought a pack of seeds today. And these...
What kind?
I got cucumber seed.
Cucumber seed.
That is, this was a buck, and it was cucumber seed. These are national pickle seeds for cucumbers.
So if I plant those, I get pickles?
No, you don't get pickles. Does that look like a pickle? That doesn't look like a pickle.
No.
But this is a weapon. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, when you read that in Scripture, in other words, what the Scripture is telling you is the Word of God... He gives you different words, so that's why I'm real important that you're doing this, Greg. Because these different words that you get, what's the definition of them? They're a weapon, correct?
Right.
They do one thing.
Okay.
Now, remember Brother Copeland's sermons. He says, Jesus didn't say a whole lot. He'd say a couple words. Why? Because he had to put a screwdriver in. He had to put a screw in. So he was looking for the weapon or the tool or the instrument that he was designing with his tongue to get that job done. So each word that you use or each word that's the Lord's giving you, it does one thing. It's impossible for this little seed, which is in the weapon category, it does one thing. It's impossible to get corn out of this. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to get something out of this other than a cucumber. So when you read the word or the Lord gives you a word, it's because he's working on one thing. Hmm. He's working on one thing. So each word is very precise. So words in the Scripture is seed. It's belief. It's used as a servant. So these are all different symbols of what this one thing does. So it's one thing. So when you're dealing with a situation, you get a word to fix the situation. You get the word and you apply it and you plant it in your heart.
How do you get that word?
Well, I'm gonna give you an example. I'm gonna give you a story. A gentleman, he's a Catholic gentleman, and he was studying the Indians in New Mexico. So he went and lived with them. He lived with them a long time because he was. Learning their beliefs because they would manifest their beliefs. Mm-hmm. So I like to learn about how to manifest. So you're manifesting a word, correct? So this elder with the tribe in New Mexico calls him, says, I'm going to go pray rain today. You want to go with me? So this is real interesting. So you'll see this. He said, I would love to go. So they get in the car. They drive for 2 hours out into the desert. Now, this is desert. Hmm. There's no trees, there's no bushes, there's no rivers. This is desert. But what's he going to go do? Pray for rain. So people traveling through their lives, they've seen a lot of desert.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They get out of the car and they walk for 2 hours into the desert. They get to the place where this man is going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you guys are mature Christians, so you can handle these things. Like Greg says, don't let this knock you off your cow, or how do you say it, Greg?
I don't know.
Knock your cow over, your holy cow over.
Tip your
so
sacred
he cow. Walks out in the middle of the circles, in the circle, and this man, this writer, is watching him. And the elderly Indian, he's the oldest in the tribe, and he's going to go pray for rain. He walks out in the middle of the circle. He bows in four directions. He puts his hands together and bows his head.
He walks out of the circle.
Puts his shoes on and said, let's go to breakfast. All right. And the gentleman says to him, he says, I thought you were going to pray for rain.
Yeah, you kind of reeled me into a story here. And I'm
right.
A little,
he said, I thought you were going to.
I'm a little disappointed so far. All right. Dale, what is the rest of the story?
All right, here's the key to it. The gentleman, he says to the elderly Indian, he says, I thought you were going to pray for rain. You didn't do anything. He said, I didn't tell you I was going to go pray for rain. He said, you didn't? He said, I never told you I was going to pray for rain. I was going to go pray rain. So you see the difference there between the two sentences? He said, then what did you do in that circle? You didn't dance. You didn't say anything. You didn't do anything. He said, I prayed rain. Well, how do you pray rain? He said, I walked in the mud. I stood in the mud, and then I walked in my tall corn. And then I swept the water out of my house. Faith is now.
That's good.
Faith is now. So what word did he use? He didn't walk in there with a word. He didn't walk into the place where he was going to receive with the word, I need rain.
Yeah.
So you're
he walked into that circle and said, I have rain.
So you're saying then that
this weapon created rain.
Based on your definition of a weapon.
Correct.
That words are weapons.
Words are weapons that do one thing.
Mm. Okay.
So he walked into the circle and he said, rain. So it produced rain the next day. It hadn't rained for 7 years in that area.
Wow.
And the guy called him. He said, hey, it is raining. What are you doing? He said, what do you think I'm doing? I'm sweeping the water out of my hogan.
Wow.
And he said, you did this not praying for rain. You did this by praying rain. So Brother Copeland says this. He says this, Greg. He said, Lord doesn't move because of what you need. He moves because of faith. And what is faith? Faith is now. And if you've got a word, it makes a right. Now in your
okay.
life.
Okay, well, let me just do that right now, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about this some more. The power of faith-filled words.
Correct.
Words are powerful. They're not primarily for communication, but
correct.
They're used to release power. Mm-hmm. They
That's
are
right.
weapons. Here's Kenneth Copeland.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm saying to you is words are so dynamic. Words are not primarily for communication. Words, the purpose of words primarily is to release power. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. Whether you know it or not, your words are spirit. Words are spiritual containers. They can contain faith. They can contain love. They can contain the power of God. They can contain hate. They can contain fear. They're so powerful that one hateful word can ruin somebody's life forever if they don't know how to get rid of it. It does matter what you say. Words are weapons. Oh, yeah. Powerful weapons. And you don't need to be just shooting that gun off anytime you want to. Because once you pull the trigger, you can't get it back. You can do all the repenting and all the crying and everything, but I'm telling you, sweetheart, once you pull the trigger, that thing's out there. And I pray to God that it wasn't a deadly bullet. Are you listening to me now? This is so vital. This is the most vital information in the Bible. The most vital information in the Bible. It starts with, and God said, light be, light was. That's what started it all. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen, amen. That's what started it all.
Yeah,
he's absolutely right. We're taking your words. The words have been rolling around in your spirit. We're talking about that and what's in our heart as well. Also, I'd like to let you know, because we've had a few prayer requests coming in, that the prayer line is open. Trained prayer ministers are ready right now to minister to you. The number is right there on the screen in the United States. It's 877-281-6297. Okay, here's a whole lot of words, and we'll come back to this. Lee, Ruth, Pamela, Rita, Karen, Carolyn, Donna, Milagros, Doris, Barb, Debbie, Maddie, Elena, plus a whole lot that I don't have your names for. But let me just read you some of the words that have been coming in. It's been rolling around in their spirit. Remnant. Glory. Anger. Resentful. Faithful. Triumphant. So these are things God's been dealing with them about.
Yeah.
Grateful. Ridiculous. That was Deirdre's story. Peace. You know, I bet that guy felt ridiculous walking out there with him, you know.
You had to walk out. You travel for 4 hours looking at desert.
Yeah, I've done that.
And then you go out and receive rain, and you got to travel four hours back through the desert.
I used to drive, you know, we lived in California.
Right.
You would drive to visit family. And I really believe that some of those towns, the only reason they're there, the wagon broke. And we just built the town right here. peace, expecting, reset. That's an interesting word.
Yeah.
Healing, anticipation.
Anticipation.
Prepare this person, justice. Mm. Transformation.
Yeah.
Awakening, confidence, lifeline. That's interesting. Pamela, EMIC and KCM has been a lifeline.
Praise God.
For me in my wilderness when my local church was not. Well, thank you. Yeah. Praise God.
We're glad we're here.
Patience, his coming, conqueror, trust, restoration, imitate, inspiration. All these different words. It's interesting to see what God's been dealing with you about. And the reason I say that is because it's not just the preachers, guys.
Right.
It's the body of Christ. You're part of the body.
Yeah.
And I want to know what the Holy Spirit's been saying to you. And then I can look at what he's been saying to me. Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of see what the whole body's doing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Makes perfect
and
sense.
It really and truly, it helps locate you where you're at.
Does.
Because anytime God's been dealing with me about peace means I'm lacking in peace. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's dealing with me on these things. So that was good, Dale. What else? Anything else on there?
Well, I question the Lord about all these things. When you read things like that, right? I say, Lord, scripturally basis, tell me what's going on here. He says, because the man manifested rain the next day, right? He said, there's several things right there. He said, Dale, I want you to realize the condition that he came in. What's the scripture say? So we want to back up manifestations with the word, correct? So he said, so the condition that the man came in was a condition to receive. So when you come to pray, whatsoever you desire.
When you pray.
Right? The condition is you're coming in a condition. He came there, Greg, to take that thing away.
So here's the deal. Brother Copeland, I've heard him teach this. You pray the end result, not
what you need.
You pray the end result lined up with the Word of God, and faith does that. Faith operates in that deal. Tim?
That's what Jesus did. He called things that be not as other.
I have this thing now, he'd say.
He told Abraham he was the father of many nations before he could even see it.
That's
told
right.
Gideon that he was a mighty warrior. At the time, Gideon did not see himself
Gideon
that way.
He was hiding. When that word came.
But that's Jesus calls things be not as though they are because his word works. And he knows, he sees the end from the beginning.
And he creates it. It can't make anything else.
No, that's right. Yeah.
And
the world was formed by the words.
By words. Yes.
By a word. Yeah. And the word himself. So, I mean, that was really good. You know, I was today it came to me, the word faith, forgiveness came to me today.
Oh, good.
And I don't, there's a bunch of scriptures in the word about forgiveness. I just want to read a couple of them. One out of Romans chapter 12 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Mm-hmm. That's enough for some people to say, mm-hmm. gosh, is that even possible? It takes faith to do that.
Right.
Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. When I think of honor, I think of Brother Copeland. I mean, I don't know anybody that's been more honorable than he has. And when you're honorable, you do things this way. You do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. And then I want to go over to Mark and read this over in Mark, because this was really Mark 11:25. And then I'll throw this back out for everybody to kind of talk about. And it says in 11:25,
if you do not forgive.
In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye mm-hmm. of the needle. Well, I wrote it on the wrong one. But that's a good one, too. Yeah. For a rich person into the kingdom of heaven.
That's good.
That's a
Mark
good
11,
one, too.
Mark 11:25, isn't yeah. that what
that's
if you 10, do not
25.
Forgive?
No, it was 10:25. That's why.
You went
11:25. Go over here, Tim, where the Bible says what you wanted to say. But when you are praying,
yes.
there you go.
First forgive yes. anyone you are holding a grudge against uh-huh. so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins as well. You know, it's forgiveness.
That's good.
It's such a difficult thing sometimes. It does take faith to do it. But here's what came to me. Forgiveness is not for that person. It's for you.
It's for you. Yes.
It's more for you than it is the person.
That's good.
But I would even say, people could say, okay, it takes faith to do it. But that gives them an out because they can decide, I don't have the faith
That's
to
right.
do that.
That's right.
What it takes is a decision.
Yeah.
It's a decision to forgive someone. Faith will come behind it.
It is.
But it's a decision to forgive, because someone can do something really heinous,
right.
something really terrible, hurt your children, hurt something, and most of the time it's more not as much you as if it was your children or a family member. And that, want to get them back, want to make them pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But deciding to be obedient to the word to forgive.
And you have to do it, say it out loud.
I choose
to forgive.
I can tell you, have to say it out loud.
That person,
yes,
you have to. You have to put the devil on notice
mm-hmm.
that he has not got the power over you anymore mm-hmm. with that unforgiveness.
Because you got to shut that voice down.
You do.
You got to shut that voice down.
What I like about this too, Cynthia, Tim, is that God never requires you to do anything that He doesn't require of Himself.
That's exactly right.
He mm-hmm. doesn't say, "Now you got to love everybody, but right. I don't have to." He's telling you, you got to love everybody because He loves everybody because He's got to love everybody.
What did He say? Father, forgive them.
Yes.
For they know not what.
Right.
Forgiveness was a centerpiece of Him going to the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. So He says, I do this thing, you do it because you're made just in my image.
Yeah.
I require myself to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm requiring you to do it because you're made in my image. So have the faith that you can do it because you're just like me.
Yeah.
So we can do it because God can do it.
Right, right.
And we're His children and we're made in His image, so we can't think of all the things He's had to say, well, I'm going to forgive them.
Yeah.
I'm going to forgive them.
Yeah.
And so the same requirement He has on Himself is what He has on us.
Yeah.
The law, you would say the spiritual law, works for the judge as well as for the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
The judge is under the same spiritual law. Mm-hmm. God made spiritual law so that it will work for everybody.
Yeah.
But He also works within those spiritual laws. He said, I'm not doing anything that I'm not doing myself, Dale.
Right.
I'm not telling you to do something that I ain't doing.
Right.
I'm doing it. And this, if you want to be successful like me, son,
right,
you'll act like your father.
Yeah.
So, guys, you were talking about prayer just a second ago and faith, and it reminded me of something. Prayer does not make faith work.
No.
Faith makes prayer work.
Faith makes prayer work.
That's good.
Right. Sometimes we get that thing mixed up.
Get
and listen,
inverted.
Inverted,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why it doesn't work, because you're just praying with no faith.
Right.
I can't figure out why this stuff ain't working.
You're trying to use prayer as a crowbar.
You're praying in unforgiveness. Yeah.
So anyway,
oh, that's a good point.
We have a lot of these words that are still coming in. Thank you. Keep sending them.
Yes.
Let's see. Imitate from Jesse. I got your word here. Inspiration, waymaker, restoration,
waymaker.
Light, freedom.
Oh yeah.
Teresa has the word disappointment. Here's no name on this one. Okay. Won't do. Reformation is another one. This one is the word shame. My entire childhood was based on shame.
Wow.
I still struggle with it at the age of 63.
Well, the Lord gave me a word on that the other day, Greg. I told you about it. And I saw a friend dealing with something, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Dale, pride and shame are on the same stick. They're opposite ends of each other, but they're on the same stick.
Yeah.
What's this lady's name?
There's no name. I can't reveal the name.
So I'll say this to you. Pride and shame is on the same stick, all right? You can beat somebody with it, or you can beat yourself with it. But the Lord said, don't pick it up. So the name of this stick is called self-esteem. And so when you start judging yourself with your self-esteem, you're going to say, I'm full of pride. I'm just this good. Or other people's judge me, and I'm full of shame, and I'm just this bad. But this is what the Lord says. He esteems you.
Come on, he judged you.
He judged you, and he said you were worthy.
And he did. And here's the deal.
He did. So pick up. The Lord don't have a stick that he's beating you with, and you can set that stick down from now on.
He was on that stick.
Yes, he was on that stick.
And he was judged, and he forgave.
Yes, he was.
And he was there.
Yes.
And despising the shame.
He despised the shame.
Yes, he did.
He became
our shame.
He became your shame.
Yes, he did.
You can be free from that. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. I said that wrong.
You can be free.
No, I'm going to use a weapon.
Use a weapon, Greg.
I'm going to use it, Dale. Get excited. Here we go. You are free.
Yes.
You're free based upon Jesus.
Yes.
It's going to be every single day, if you have to, looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
I've had to do it.
Yes.
Listen, I was walking through a store the other day. And a memory came up in my head, and I started to think about it, and it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah.
I literally out loud went, no.
Good.
That's gone. No.
Yes.
That's not me.
That's the way to do it.
I don't know if you saw a victory update yesterday, and I don't know if they're archived or not. Somebody maybe could tell me right here. Yeah. Are they archived?
Yes.
Go back and watch Mike Barber yesterday, and talking about shame and things when he was in the National Football League. And now, what the enemy does, and I want to share this with you, is he'll show you a picture of yourself.
That's right.
And now I showed Mike a football card of his from 1979. Right. That was Mike Barber.
That was him.
But that wasn't him. It's not him now.
Yeah. Right.
It's a picture, not a mirror.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Where's the mirror, Greg?
Well, let me show you. Where's your Bible?
In
Hold your Bible up. Well, let me just reach over here. If I had an old picture of me from high school, my hair color is much different.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And a lot different. That's a picture, but it's not a mirror. Here's my mirror.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
It tells you who you are, doesn't it?
It tells me exactly who I am.
And she is free, not trying to get
free.
Oh,
no, she's free.
That's right.
She is free.
Well, you know, the moment she was born again. Mess with your head.
And try to
keep you in that bondage.
Keep you in a cage.
Looking at the picture.
Looking at the picture.
As if it was a mirror.
Thinking of the memory and to hold you back from your destiny.
So somebody, and here's what I hate about him. He will plant somebody.
Yeah, he'll use people.
Innocent.
Right.
Even an innocent thing to say something that was said to you when you were little.
Right. Push a button.
And it'll push that trigger button.
Right.
Nothing ever changed.
Yeah.
It's just never changed. Yeah. And
even these people see it, and they're not seeing a thing.
No.
You're
not, not a single thing.
That's what I love about this program, the transparency, because none of us are here saying that we've never had these things happen. We're talking to you out of experience.
Yes, exactly.
We've all had to do these things.
Yes.
And not just years ago, like recently, we've all had to do these
like
things.
Like a day ago? Or two,
yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, like you say, there's times you look. I was just sitting on the couch maybe a week ago, 2 weeks, whatever. looked at my high school picture and thought, well, what have I accomplished since then?
See, but you're looking at a picture.
What a lie. Yeah. What a lie. Yeah.
That will sit right on your shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm like, where is this coming from? But not before I thought about it a few minutes and mulled it over. Yeah. And then I had to think, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Thank you.
Stop that.
Yeah.
But you see, if you don't catch it.
Yeah.
It will keep messing with you and trying to destroy you and trying to take you out and make you feel so low that you think you've done nothing.
So you just got to use the right weapons. And I'm going to play a clip right now, and then we're going to come back and get your word for the week.
Get some weapons.
Gloria Copeland, Billy Brim, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Ooh. They are not natural. They're weapons that are not natural. And our weapon is the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils, meaning wherever we go today, we should cast out devils in our pathway by using the name of Jesus. We're coming back with Cynthia's word right after this. Amen.
The appointed weapons of our warfare are the authority of the risen Lord and the blood of the Lamb. To the man of wholehearted consecration and of scriptural faith, these will be found all sufficient at all times. Remember our theme? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God.
They're not natural.
They're not natural. They're not of that. And so he used for the scriptures here, of course, he used Mark 16, 17, and 18. He's the risen Lord. And the risen Lord, after he's conquered, he's risen and he says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. There's your weapon. In my name, the name of Jesus, in my name, they shall cast out devils.
That's right.
Doesn't just mean that, somebody comes in here and they're demon possessed and we cast it out. No, it means wherever we go today, Gloria, we're going to cast the devils out of our pathway. We're not going to let them operate over our heads in the heavenlies.
That's right.
We're not going to let them operate in our children's lives. Hmm. In the name of Jesus, in my name, they'll cast out devils.
And listen, I'm not saying cast out the devil out of you. You're born again. You don't have the devil in you, but
that's right.
a spirit of oppression.
Sure.
Trying to get you to compare yourself to what you used to be.
Yes.
Right. And that's not who I am now.
That's good.
All right, Cynthia, we've got many words coming in. Listen, before she starts, I want to get you involved in this program again. Right there is the information on the screen. You can text your word or question, prayer request to 682-302-1301. You can email it at askhomegroup@govictory.com. If you're on Facebook, just type it in right there and it'll come directly to us. Also want to remind you that the prayer ministry line is open and that there are prayer ministers ready and waiting to pray with you right this minute. There's the number on the screen, 877-281-6297. All right, Cynthia, what's God been telling you?
Well, my word came kind of funny because I thought our theme was the Lord knows. Somehow I had gotten that mixed up, right?
Well, that was your theme.
And
so it's your theme now.
No, what happened was when I heard the Lord knows, I kept the scripture came up, the foundation of the Lord stands sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
So let me tell you how that happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell on myself.
Tell on you.
They were talking to me about different subjects. We had had an original thing we were going to do, and I just, I'm not going to do that. And so the producers asked me, what subject are we covering tonight? And
you just replied,
I replied, the Lord only knows.
That's what it was too. I wasn't getting
anything in my spirit. I'm like, Lord, I'm praying. And finally, in frustration, I just typed on the Lord only knows. And you guys all saw it and thought that was the topic.
I thought that was the topic.
I started studying.
But when I got
you started studying there?
You started studying. Yes,
he got
that's what
that.
I do.
And then I was thinking, but the foundation.
Come in.
So I went to foundation because that just led me to the word.
Okay, I like it.
So the foundation standeth sure, having this seal, the foundation of God. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, that's King James. So let me give it to you in the Passion and go a verse before that. And avoid verse 2 Timothy 2:16-19, and avoid empty chatter and worthless words.
Right.
For they simply add to worthless words.
Worthless weapons.
Don't listen. Don't mess up with my word. You had your word. Hang on. For they simply add to the irreverence of those who converse in that manner. The King James says, foolish questions avoid, for they do gender strifes.
Yeah. Right.
For the words, and then it talks about two people. Now, this is a terrible way to get your name into the word. For the words of Hymenaeus and Philetus are like gangrene. Golly gee, you would not want that written about yourself.
Wow.
They've already spread their poison to many. They are lost to the truth and teach gross error when they teach that the resurrection of the dead is already past. They're guilty of subverting the faith of some believers. But the firm foundation of God has written upon it these two inscriptions. The Lord recognizes those who are truly his. And everyone who worships the name of the Lord Jesus must forsake wickedness. But my thing is, if your foundation is sure, mm-hmm. I don't care who's coming in with wrong words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your foundation has to be sure.
Yeah.
Luke 6, 47 to 49, and I'm just trying to pick up the one that's the best. So let me do it on the New Living. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock.
Right.
When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. Mm-hmm. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Give me your seeds, because I didn't know you bought them from me, but I need them.
Okay.
So, your seed, you know the scripture, and it's in Mark 4, it's in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. The seed that was cast.
Cast was seed.
So you had the seed that was cast by the wayside.
Yes.
It has no foundation.
Right.
So the birds pick it up and they eat the seed.
Right.
Then there's the seed that's cast into the ground, but it's really shallow.
Right.
So it has no root.
Right.
Or is that the third one? It has no root. I got it there. But anyway, this one doesn't grow up. It withers away in the sun. It comes up real quick. It's gone.
Right.
But then there's the one that has no root. Again, all three of those have no real foundation.
Right.
So you put it in, but you didn't put it in deep.
Right.
Nothing went in deep. Nothing went into the soil. But that fourth soil is the one that you dig deep and you put it in.
Right.
But even in that fourth soil, there's different kinds of good ground.
Right.
Because some of it produced 30,
right.
Some produced 60, some produced 100.
Right.
So that means that soil, even in good soil, there's some soil that's even better soil.
Right.
And it looks where you dig in is how your life is going to go.
Yes.
How far you dig into that word, how far you decide to go into this. Right now we have this COVID crisis. But are you in the word? Because you hear all of these words that came up last week, devastation, you hear anger,
right.
You hear ridiculous. This is ridiculous, some of the nonsense that we have to deal with right now because the devil launched an attack against the world.
Yeah.
But if we are in this word,
right.
Last week, that's why I said Miss Michelle, because I was going to tell her. Last week, Michelle took that word and she said, this is the standard.
Yes.
This is it.
That's the foundation.
This is the foundation.
Yeah.
Everything goes through this. And if you want to say, well, you know, it's an old book and it doesn't have... No, darling, just go read Proverbs. It will give you every... It will tell you how to live right now.
Yes.
This is the foundation.
Every answer's in there.
Every answer's here.
Every answer.
And if the further you get in, the more you're going to hear him, and you'll get your answer. You'll know your foundation is sure. Instead of building your house on the sand...
Right.
And just picking this up a little bit, and you get a little bit here and a little bit there.
Mm.
Pick up your word,
right.
Get into it, and start working your foundation. The foundation of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Who had a foundation?
Right.
Five of them were wise.
Right.
They prepared.
Right.
Five were foolish. They did not.
Right.
So they didn't go with the bridegroom when he came.
So they didn't believe the word. It wasn't.
No, they believed the word.
No,
they weren't. They believed the word.
Then what happened?
They just weren't ready.
They weren't ready.
They procrastinated it.
Because
they went immediately to go get what they needed. So they believed him.
They slept. They lazed out on it.
I think it goes very well with what Paul talked about with believers. They're believers, but they're asleep in the light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they don't benefit.
Right. They're just... If I had a room not to be gross or morbid here, full of dead bodies. And there was one guy who was laying there with him, but he was asleep. Mm-hmm. Just by a cursory glance, which one is alive?
Right.
Right? Because he's acting like
dead.
The dead people. Mm. He's laying down asleep in the light. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you have to wake up. Yourself up. Anyway, sorry.
Keep going. No, that's good, because we were all supposed to get into this. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's having that foundation, knowing. Because as the days are getting closer to the coming of the Lord.
Listen, Cynthia, we're so close.
We're so close, but there's so much going out there. Yeah. There's so much going out there. There's this talk and this kind of thing. And I was on a Zoom this morning with some pastors from South Africa, and they were talking about certain people that were saying, Jesus is already here. He's in Kenya. And we're going like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, people are saying, and the Bible said,
when they say
he's here, he's in the desert, don't listen.
Don't even go.
But if you don't have the foundation,
right.
If your foundation isn't solid.
Right.
That you hear something and you're able to go, that's not God.
Right.
See, because if you know God, you know His word, you know His voice.
Right.
So when you hear someone say something, you go like, nah.
You know, Cynthia, I built a house. Me and Jill built a house years ago. So the first thing you do is the foundation. But the first thing you lay is the cornerstone. So Christ is the cornerstone.
Yeah, we're all fitly joined to Him.
And in other words, what you do is you shoot your plumb line off the cornerstone. So if your corner's right here, you know that your wall's right there. So you have to line your life up
with the cornerstone.
With the cornerstone. I've always got a reference.
Well, there you go. Thank you for joining us tonight on Dale the Tool Man. Right here on the
Dale, there's carpenters out there.
I have a scripture for that. Ephesians 2:19-22.
Correct.
In the Passion. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones.
Right.
With all the rights as family members of the household of God.
Right.
You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets.
Right.
And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself.
That's right. Shoot everything off your life off that cornerstone.
He's the first born again man.
Yep.
And he's number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your number, I don't know what number you are, but you're numbered.
You got in a number in him.
That's what the scripture says, that we've been numbered in him.
Absolutely.
Okay, many of these words are coming in. Let me give you some more. Reformation, introspection.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Dominion, reality check is a word. Suspense. Mm. Okay, that one's probably a mistake because my name hasn't been coming up in your spirit, but they probably typed it the wrong spot. Jubilee. And then we have a question. Cindy had a question for us. If thoughts of hurt and disappointment keep coming to you, are you in unforgiveness? It says, I forgive, but I found myself still getting upset/hurt. So I just need to refuse to think on it and cast those thoughts and confess that I forgive each time those thoughts come. Question, I do not want any unforgiveness in me whatsoever.
Right.
But you know that's getting into word again. Mm-hmm. Because if you fill yourself up with this, thoughts of doubt and thoughts of confusion, and both things can't live in the same place.
What I do, literally, I'll be walking, like I said, and go, no.
No, out loud.
Just out loud if I have to. And my family's kind of learned that. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, if you're around me any length of time, you'll see me go, no, like that.
No.
And it happens quite a bit. We just had a person calling in. They want that last verse you just read.
Ephesians
chapter 2, verses 19-22, and I read it out of the Passion.
Okay, can you read it again for him?
Sure.
Ephesians 2,
verse 19. Starting at 19.
All right, here we go.
So, you are not foreigners or guests.
That's correct.
But rather, you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God.
Yes.
You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple.
Yes.
And your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. Mm-hmm. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the
That's
building.
That's right. That's right.
The anointed one, Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
So use that scripture to renew your mind of who you are.
So you're coming
from, that's the mirror.
That's the answer for sin.
Yeah.
You're coming from a position of victory, not,
that's right,
I'm coming to the position of, oh, I'm going to have to forgive today. Or,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. No, this or, is who I am.
You know what it is? Here's what it, you know what it is? It's realizing his love for you rather than you trying to love everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Once you get convinced of his love for you, it changes every single thing. And that, my friend, is the sure foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live off of what happens to other people or what they believe. You've got to
Get it for yourself.
There we go.
Baby.
You got to plant your own seed on the word. You must have an intimate relationship with him, which is the seed that's planted.
That's a good point.
There's a difference in knowing the word, and there's a difference of knowing it when it explodes inside of you.
Yep.
Andrew Womack's going to talk about it right now.
Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when you begin to start getting the word, to not where you just heard somebody else say it and you are, you know, parroting and repeating what somebody else said, that's like somebody else planting corn. And you say, well, man, they planted corn, so I believe I'm going to get it. Well, they planted corn is the reason they got it. You have to plant corn. If the other person is talking about the Word of God and what it's done for them and what God has spoken to them, that's great for them, but it's not going to benefit you unless you also take those seeds and plant them in your heart. And I'm telling you, this is where the vast majority of people that I deal with are missing it. And there are some people who say, well, I believe the word. But you know, it's a difference in just having a casual relationship with it and having an intimate relationship with the Word of God. It's the same thing as a woman who may recognize that, you know, you've got to have a relationship with a man before you become pregnant. And so you understand that. And so you go stand close to a man. And you may even hug him. But you know what? I'm not going to teach on all of this. I'm going to assume that most of you understand how this works, but that won't get you pregnant. Just standing close to somebody, drinking the water after somebody else who's pregnant is not going to have you get pregnant and conceive and bring forth a child. You got to have an intimate relationship. You've got to have a seed planted. And the Word of God, you've got to have more than a casual knowledge of it. You know, I don't have the words to describe all of this, but there's a difference between just knowing the word intellectually, even to the point where you could quote it, and then having it to where it explodes on the inside of you. One of the ways I try and explain this is to talk about the difference between just mental understanding and revelation. You have to receive the Word of God by revelation. It has to be implanted in you. And it's hard for me to explain this to other people because, like I'm saying, it comes by revelation. Now, I spend a lot of time just studying the Word and meditating. I'll look up words. I'll use other resources. I'll study it. I do all of these things. But then after I get all of this information accumulated, I meditate on it and it becomes revelation. The Holy Spirit has to quicken it to you. It has to come alive to you.
Has to come alive in you. It really does. My uncle, one of my favorite uncles in all the world, was a rancher, and he grew wheat.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't really grow wheat because he wanted to be a farmer. He grew winter wheat for his cattle.
Right.
But the result of that was we always had a wheat harvest as well. I learned some things from him about wheat in the state of Oklahoma. Wheat. And there's a weed that looks like wheat that grows right next to it many times. It's called cheat.
Cheat, okay.
Yeah, that's what they call it. I don't know. He says it'll cheat you.
Cheat wheat.
Yeah. And so real wheat, the only way you can tell, they grow right side each other. You can tell if you get really close, but just looking at the field, the only way you can tell is at harvest time. At harvest time, the grains on the wheat stalks get so heavy, and you've seen it, guys, that it bows over, it does this thing, it bends.
Right.
You haven't ever seen that?
Sure.
At harvest? Cheat doesn't bend, it stands straight up. Wheat, the real stuff, will bow.
Sounds like humility and pride, doesn't it, Greg?
There's your stick.
Right. Yeah. So I was reading that, we were talking about humility earlier. It says the hand of the Lord is against the proud, but his hand shows favor and grace to the humble. So the Lord, you can name that hand two ways. It can it can say, no, you're not going any further because of pride. Or it can say, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in because you're humble. We can work together. You'll move with me. You'll operate with me. But you operate it by getting that foundation of who you are in Christ Jesus.
Good stuff. It's good stuff. I had one little thing, and some of you have talked about healing on here. And I was watching and talking about humility here because I want to show you something in the life of Jesus. You said it a while ago that we do what he does.
We do what he does.
And you talked about it on the cross.
Right.
Even on the cross. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Do you have that? Can you go to Matthew chapter 8?
Matthew 8.
Verse 1 through 4. It's right outside Capernaum. Jesus will heal a man. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read 1, 2, 3, 4.
So it's Matthew 8, verse 1.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4.
When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leper was cleansed. Mm-hmm. Is that where you wanted me to stop?
Go to verse 4.
Go to verse 4.
To 4. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
A testimony unto them. The key phrases are in chapter 4.
Okay.
Now, in the other, or verse 4 rather, the key, the other stuff is, we've heard it taught, are you willing to heal me? I am willing and all that. But there's a truth there.
Yes.
That's a truth. Right. But verse 4 has all of the key things. Read verse 4 again.
And Jesus saying unto him, see thou tell no man.
Interesting.
But go thy way, show thyself to the priest.
Interesting.
And offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
What does it say in Passion?
So in the Passion, it says, don't speak to anyone, but go at once and find a priest and show him what has happened to you. Make sure to take the offering Moses commanded so they can certify your healing.
There it is.
Certify.
Certify your healing.
Oh, that's
so it's the Hebrew word sarat, which is where you get leprosy. In Greek, they use the word leprosy, but in the Hebrew, that word for leprosy there, we're going back to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. That's what Jesus is doing. And the phrase for leprosy means any skin condition.
Just skin.
Any skin condition,
any skin
right?
Condition. Okay.
So here's the thing. One of the major signs that they were looking for the Messiah, to this day, one of the major signs you look for the Messiah, is the Messiah will be able to heal people of leprosy.
Or all skin conditions.
Yeah. Leprosy will be one of the major signs that he is the true Messiah. Okay, so you'll see that in many places where Jesus will mention that lepers are being cleansed. Okay, so by healing this man, it proves his Messiah claim.
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
It proves that he's the Messiah.
Yes.
Now, what does he do? Why go to the priest? Leviticus 13 or 14. You have to be cleared by a priest. What was the word again?
The word certified.
Certified.
Your healing.
Bona fide, good to go. Mm-hmm.
Certified by the priest, meaning that he can return to synagogue and he can return into society.
Right. Yeah. Boy, that's what a Messiah
would
do.
Listen to this. Saying this, the shame of leprosy is off his house.
Wow.
Because he's certified by a priest. Now, Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah did this. And it should have caused them to believe he was the Messiah, right?
Right.
Secondarily, Jesus is humbling. He's the Messiah, but he's humbling himself. He's not a priest. He is now. He wasn't a priest back then, but he's submitting himself. Oh, I love this part. Jesus himself is submitting himself to the word in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 that you must go to a priest to be certified.
Right.
This is why he said, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody I did it.
Don't tell anybody. Go to the priest. Mm-hmm. Let this be a witness to them and they will certify you.
Yeah.
So Jesus, the creator of all life, is submitting himself to an earthly priest because he's submitting himself to the word. Jesus can get rid of this man's shame and knows how to do it, and submit himself to the word, That means you need to submit yourself to the word.
Yeah. Oh, I got
you
it.
Need to submit yeah. yourself to the seed process
yeah. mm-hmm.
that you were talking about. You need to submit yourself to forgiveness.
Yeah.
Jesus, Peter writes, who being reviled, reviled not, didn't open his own mouth.
Right. Yeah.
When they were talking bad about him, he didn't talk bad about, and he didn't keep reliving it by keep re-talking it.
That's true, mm-hmm. isn't it?
God, Jesus, right? He was so honorable.
That's the honor of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh my gosh.
And so he honored, listen, he's honoring the priesthood mm-hmm. and he's honoring the word
yeah.
by sending this guy to go show himself.
Yeah.
And that guy will have a certificate to go back into the church.
He can go anywhere he wants to.
He can go anywhere he
doesn't
wants
that,
to.
Doesn't that
the
sound
shame,
like yes,
the shame that he's been carrying yes. and his family has carried
yes.
is removed.
Set free.
Not when he was healed.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah.
But by submitting to the word.
Oh, so good.
So listen, the shame you've been carrying is gone.
Yes.
Based on Jesus. And now he is your high priest as well. So he has already certified you.
Yes.
Glory to God.
You got right. your paperwork.
You got your paperwork.
Got your paperwork. I am free. He's trying to get free.
No.
He didn't go to the priest saying, hey, yeah. I'm here to try to get free, right. did he?
He's, no.
I'm free. He said, I'm free. Give me my paperwork.
Yeah. He said, and best of all, you are connected to the head
again.
Cornerstone.
Yes. Read it again. What?
And best of all,
yeah, best
you
of
are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the yes. anointed one, Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
Exactly right. And so if I'm connected to him, I'm like him. I'm not under that.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I'm not the old picture mm-mm. they say I was.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm the mirror of the word. I'm the mirror of the cornerstone. Yeah.
Since Jesus looked in the word and found himself.
That's exactly right.
Well, I like this. What's this? The word is a weapon is where we started. Right.
Right. Right.
So
yeah, put a bow on this. Yeah.
So Jesus is the weapon.
Okay.
Jesus is the word.
Yes.
The
he
weapon.
Came for one purpose.
He came for one purpose, and he can only do one thing, and that's Messiah setting you free. Praise that's Messiah. Praise he sets you free. He's the weapon that only does one thing. He sets you free, and he said, I came to deliver.
Yeah.
He's naming all the stuff that this weapon was made to do.
Right. Cynthia, 30 seconds.
The foundation.
He's the foundation.
He's the foundation. Yeah. He's dig into that foundation,
yes.
and you won't be moved.
Mm-mm.
You won't,
you
be,
won't
moved.
Be moved.
My
yeah.
God. And there's nothing that you can't handle.
That's
there's
the
nothing that you can go through mm-hmm. that he did not take to the cross with him.
Yeah. And even on your word with forgiveness, and yeah. I often think of people that went through World War II
sure.
who still have numbers on their hand tattooed right. on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
And yet they
camp.
Concentration yeah. camp people that had lived that way and through that and survived.
Yeah.
And there are some who still forgave. Corrie Ten Boom.
Oh, yeah, lots of them. Yeah. Irving Roth, good yeah. friend.
Irving yeah. Roth.
He said, I don't have time. I don't have time.
I can't have time, you know, amen. Because that would have
it's
held him
so
back.
Good.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. guys, here's the thing. If God puts something on your heart, it's something he's dealing with you about. Either something you need to work on in your own life or something you need in order to minister to others. When we all share what's been dealing with us, what we've been doing, we're getting the whole picture of the body of Christ right
yes.
now. Look in the mirror of the word to find yourself.
Yes.
You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay. Pray and speak the end result and not your need. Make sure the foundation is based on the word of God.
Yeah.
Obedience is the key. Whatever he says to do, you do it. Submit to Jesus and he knows how to make you whole. Declare God's word over yourself and family. Here we go.
Here we go.
God loves you.
God
yes,
loves
you.
And we love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
See you soon.